Well, it is a joy to be here this evening. Been greatly looking forward to the time to be here at Bible Conference, and it's a real privilege. Thank you, Dr. Pettit, for your kind, I think those were kind words. I appreciate, of course, you know, we all knew him affectionately as Brother Steve. Appreciate his investment in my life. I think some rocks just take a little, some people bend with just a tight, you know, a slight tap, and then some people have to be broken with a hammer. I guess I was one of those that had to be broken with a hammer. I don't know. But I do appreciate Dr. Pettit and his love for me and his patience with me. And just his support. And then the invitation to be here is a real privilege. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of the Psalms, chapter number 1. We're going to be in Psalms chapter 1 today. Psalms chapter 1. This is a great theme for us to have for a Bible conference. And I think it's just going to build and build as it already has starting last night. And I really pray that your heart is open. I had just a wonderful time this morning with all of you at the prayer time out in front of Rhoda Haver. Students, thank you for inviting me to be a part of that. That was just a blessing. Just coming before God, really crying out to God, yes, for around the world, revival in this university, revival, but then just in our own hearts is just a time of personal reflection. And I need this. I was listening to Dr. Minnick today, and he was talking about the blindness of the eyes of the church at Laodicea. They thought everything was fine. I'm just listening. I'm like, oh, God, is that me? Lord, don't let that be me. There's such a tendency of our hearts to just kind of get in cruise mode, folks. We just think everything's just fine. And I think we need this week. I think I need this week. Sometimes I remember when I sat out where you sit, I would think those preachers up there, they got it all figured out. You know, the only thing I've got figured out is I don't have it figured out. And I need everything that I'm going to say to you tonight. I need everything that we're going to hear this week. And so we need God. That's what we need. I'd love to just introduce my team quickly. I'm not going to have them stand because they're kind of different places. They're getting ready to split out in a little early and head over to the Stratton Hall to get ready for the concert in a little bit. But I do have a picture I just love to throw up here. This is our team that travels with us. All of them but one went to school here. And just dear, dear friends. I love them. They're like family. And we have four children that aren't in the picture that they travel with us, too. We keep them with us. And I really wanted to bring this picture up. And I know I've been told so many times since I've been here on campus and really ever since the middle of December, a flood of emails and comments from so many people here. Back on December the 17th, Matt Clemens, which if you look in the picture, Matt is on the back row, the one that's in the middle. He and his wife, Carol Ann, are there in the middle on the back row. Matt was supposed to be here. He was so excited about being here because he loves Bob Jones and the impact that this place had on his life. But Matt went home to be with the Lord on December the 17th. Got a call from Carol Ann that morning. They'd gotten to church and he had left something at home, dropped her off, said, take Asa. They have a one-year-old son, Asa. Take Asa to the nursery. I'll be right back. It's just 2 miles away. Never made it back. Wrestling through this has been a tough trial for us as a team. As I mentioned a few moments ago, these people don't just work for me. These people are like family. Dr. Pettit knows that. We become like family when we travel together. And Matt and Carol Ann got married, and they were with us. They've been married for 3 weeks when they joined our team, and they've been with us for 2.5 years. And they spent their married life with us, which is so very, very humbling to me. I want to introduce you to Matt tonight. And he graduated just a couple years ago, and so, or actually almost 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago. And so those of you who are seniors would have probably remembered Matt. It's hard not to remember Matt because as I've walked across campus, his face somehow ended up everywhere. He's on 2 different banners. He's on the wall in the dining common. He's on the side of a van. What do you have to do to get your face on the side of a van? It's been sweet to be here and have so many people share so many kind words. Please pray for us as a team, and obviously mostly pray for Carol Ann and their son Asa. I'll talk more of Matt as we go through a little bit tonight and then more on Friday. But I just wanted to say thank you to the school here and the student body for your kindness to us. Matt was a dear, dear friend and brother. And I wish that you could have seen what God was doing in his life and the enthusiasm with which he served his God. And we are sad. We miss him desperately. At the same time, I watched him get up day after day, and we would have fresh word from the Word in the morning times when we would meet together as a team, and different on the team would share what God was teaching them in the Word, and he would get up in the morning and spend time with Jesus every day of his life. And so now he doesn't have to wake up, and he's always with Jesus, and I know that he is enjoying his time there greatly. We're going to be in Psalm chapter 1. The Psalms, we love the Psalms. This is a way in which we know so much about who God is. God has declared himself to us in the Psalms. So much of his attributes, his characteristics we see in this beautiful book. How is it that God wanted to start off this book? Psalms chapter 1 is very important for us, and I want us to look at it today, this evening. Psalm chapter 1, we'll read the entire psalm, and then I'm going to spend most of my time on the first 3 verses. Then we'll mention verse 4 for time's sake. We'll really barely get there. But I want us to look at this psalm together. Let's read, starting in verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And then I want to draw your attention here as I read to verse number 3, because this is what it looks like when God is doing a reviving work in a person's heart. Listen what happens to this man. And he shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Transition here, verse number 4, you could almost supply the word however. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. We pray tonight and ask God to bless our time together as we look at his word. Father, we come to you and we are thankful, Lord, that you have given us your word. And Lord, you have given us your spirit. And Lord, that you use your word, and through the power of your spirit, God, you work in us a mighty work. Lord, you resurrect us from the dead and you breathe new life into us. Lord, we become your people not by anything we've done. Lord, we didn't love you. You loved us. And Lord, we're so thankful that you have allowed us to come, and we gather together tonight and we gather around your word. And Lord, we study and we see what you have for us. Lord, we come to eat. Lord, we heard this morning and or earlier today in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, that you stand at the door and you knock. And Lord, you want to come into us and you want to sup with us. Lord, you want to feed us. Lord, I pray that that would be real to us tonight, and that you would help us to see, Lord, what it means that we'd be people who feast at your table on a daily basis, Lord, in the Word. Lord, I don't know these college students, Lord, I don't. But I pray that you would work in a deep way. Lord, I pray that they would look back at their college years. Lord, maybe they'd look back at this semester. Lord, maybe they'd look back at this conference. And Lord, there is a work that began in their heart as they look back, a quest that they went on. Lord, to have the Word of God as an absolute non-negotiable part of their daily life. God, would you take your word, plant it deep in us today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, the Psalms begins with the phrase, blessed is the man. What does it mean, blessed is the man? We have different words that this is translated. We find in the Psalms many times the same word is translated happy. You hear that. You've heard that before, I'm sure. Happy is the man who, and then following on what we find in verse 1. The word happy is a great understanding of this word. At the same time, I think there is a worldly understanding of happiness that's not what is meant by this at all. You know, I would really love to help us with another understanding, I think, really, of what we mean by being a blessed man. God wants us to have His blessing. He wants us to have His happiness. Did you know that God wants us to be people who are fulfilled? Did you know that God wants us to be people who are satisfied? Do you believe that God wants you to be satisfied? Folks, it's something that God has put within us. It's in every single one of us. It's why we do what we do. We're on a quest to fill a hole that's in our hearts and in our lives. And God has allowed this to be there. Folks, you got to understand really what's wrapped up in the first word of the book of Psalms. Every single person in this room wants this. You were made to crave this. Folks, you want it. I would really say to you, every person who's ever lived on the face of this planet wants what's wrapped up in this word. And they don't understand it. They don't see it. This world doesn't understand. But folks, it's why everyone seems to be on a quest to fill the hole in their soul. We go about it different ways. You have some. We're right in the middle of the Olympics, and you have some people who, to be an Olympic champion is what would fill that hole for them. Or perhaps to be very successful in some other way, or in some other championship way. You know, I actually just heard right before the Super Bowl an interview with Tom Brady, and who is perhaps the greatest quarterback that's ever played. And it was an interview with him, and he was asked this question: what are you going to do to fill this hole when your career is all over? And Tom Brady simply said, I don't know. Michael Phelps recently heard or saw in an article that he, after all of his Olympic medals, all of his gold medals, all said and done, it's all over, finally accomplished what he was after, but struggling with so many struggles, depression. Folks, you see, everyone is going after it. Everybody wants it. They want to be fulfilled. They want to be happy. They want to be satisfied. So on one side, you have many who massive self-discipline rules their life. They're on a quest. They limit themselves in so many areas of their life. Because that's what's going to do it for them, is to win the championship or to win. But then on the other side, you have another man, and I'm telling you, he simply wants the same thing. But for him, it drives him again into the gutter to get high. Just wants to be satisfied. You see, my friend, we all are on a quest. And in this chapter, the first chapter of the book of Psalms, we really find God telling us how it is that a man is going to be blessed, how a man is going to be filled, how a man is going to have his soul satisfied. And it's he kind of lays it out for us here. And I think in one sense, it's, we're a little bit skeptical people. Just because somebody says it's true doesn't always mean it's going to be true. If it sounds too good to be true, then it's probably what? It's probably not true. Can you really believe everything you're told? Can you really believe commercials? You know, can you really believe infomercials? Can we really believe politicians? Can we really believe everything we're told? We even live in a day and age where you take a reputable part of our United States of America. You take the U.S. Postal Service. Did you know that they will actually put things in my mailbox that promise me that I'm soon to be a millionaire? And what do I do with it? I chunk it. It's junk mail. Folks, can I tell you something? God has given us precious promises in this book. And he didn't give us junk mail. Folks, we can take these truths to the bank. And I'm telling you, in Psalm chapter 1, he tells us how it is that the blessed man becomes this blessed man. And I promise you, you want this. What he says, first of all, in verse number 1, he tells us how it is that this man, in finding this blessing and understanding this blessing, first of all, verse 1 really tells us that he knows where it's not at. If you're going to know where to find something, then first of all, you know where it's not at. So don't bother looking there because it's not there. Listen to what it says in verse number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Folks, the bottom line is this. The man who's truly going to find the blessing of God, the satisfaction of God in his life, first and foremost is going to understand this. It is not found anywhere. Hear me. It's not found anywhere in this world. Folks, it simply isn't here. When it says here in this first phrase, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The word ungodly there, it's a pretty simple word. Sometimes it gets translated wicked, but it's a simple word that simply is talking about a person who is living life without God, the ungodly. I was reading a Jerry Bridges book not too long ago, Respectable Sins, and he had a whole chapter on what it means to be ungodly. It's basically living life with little or no regard to God. I think it's the epitome of the world in which we live. I think it's the epitome of the America in which we live. We live in a day and age. I mean, people in America might say, well, maybe there's a God. Maybe there's not. I don't care. Bottom line is the heart that they have is, I just don't care. It's the heart of the ungodly. They live life with little or no regard to God. Listen to what it says of this man, though, the man who is blessed by God, the man who has his soul satisfied. It says that he walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The word counsel there really is talking about the input of life, the input that comes into our lives. How much input goes into your life a day? You know, I got a new computer back not too long ago. I'd had an old computer. I had it for 6 years. And it was on the blink. I got a new computer. I'm taking all this old stuff off my old computer, all these documents and all kinds of things, and I'm putting them into this new, I'm inputting it into this new computer. It's amazing how much stuff we put in our computers. Folks, can I tell you something? Did you know that your brain is a computer? It's fairly complicated. Hopefully it lasts longer than 6 years, right? You know what your brain does all day long? Your brain takes in information all day long. It does the work of a computer all day long. How much input went into your mind today, into your computer? It was nonstop. Every conversation you had, everything that you read, everything that you heard, everything that you saw. Folks, all day long, input was going in. And your brain was constantly categorizing, prioritizing, hopefully deleting a few things, right? All day long, today, input was going in. But listen to what it says. The man who's going to be blessed by God, he doesn't live his life getting his input from this world. You know why? Because he understands that this world doesn't know. This world doesn't know how to fill the soul. Folks, it's full of lies. You know, I'll take a little cheap shot here. I'll pick on something that's it's kind of an easy target. I'll pick on the television. Now, folks, I'm not against the television. Matter of fact, I have two televisions. I'm not against television at all. I love watching sports. I'm a big sports fan. I'm not against the television, but not too long ago, I was looking at the national average in the American home. In the average American home on a national level, did you know that in the average American home, the television is on just under 7 hours a day? And folks, I just want you to know something. Did you know that there is a whole lot of counsel that takes place in those 7 hours? This world is so loud, and it is coming at us so fast and so hard. And there is an agenda. Do you believe that this world has an agenda? This world conspires against our relationship with God. And Satan, who is in control, folks, Satan's big plan is not to get us all to join the satanic church. Folks, Satan is successful if he gets us to love the things of this world more than we love the things of God. Things that are temporal, things that pass away, things that don't matter. But the man who's going to be blessed of God, he can see through the lies.
You know, Becca, a couple years ago, I was at my in-laws' house for Christmas and then on through New Year's. And my father-in-law, who used to be employed here, they now live up in Indianapolis, and he's a big sports fan. And on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, for those of you who know what's going on in the sports world, you have all of your college football bowl games, and me and my father-in-law, we are watching football, and I'm a little embarrassed to tell you this, but I'll go ahead. In 2 days' period of time, hear me now, 2 days' period of time, me and we watched 6 football games. Now, girls, go ahead, get it over with, roll your eyes, go ahead. 6 football games. Now, I mean, we were spending time with family. We're hanging out, you know. We're playing some games. We're eating some food. It wasn't like we were glued to the TV, but we were pretty in tune. We knew what was going on. And you know that, I mean, in the broad spectrum, folks, in the broad spectrum of entertainment, I mean, this is fairly pure entertainment. I mean, maybe it's a little violent, I don't know, but it's fairly pure entertainment. I mean, come on, it's just football. But did you know that at the end of 2 days and six football games, I looked at my wife and I said, "Baby, I need a detox." It was crazy, folks. In 2 days and six football games, did you know that weird things are going on in my brain? I mean, weird things are going on in my brain, in my heart. Weird things like this. All of a sudden, I don't like my truck anymore. What's up with that? I like that truck. Man, I mean, I'm not even talking about the main program. I'm just talking about the commercials. But folks, do you realize that they have an agenda? Now, I'm not saying commercials are bad. But folks, it's amazing. I'm just telling you, there is a message that is coming at us all the time as to what's going to fill the soul. I was asked one time to do, I was speaking at this big teen conference, and I was asked to do a workshop on teenagers and advertising. I was like, whoa, man, oh, this is going to be good. Teenagers need this. Now, you know who needed this? I needed this. It was really pretty overwhelming. I mean, I'm like direct statements from advertisers. I mean, no bones about it. And it's just what it is. It's what it is. But no bones about it. They're not embarrassed. They'll tell you straight up. Their goal is to make me and you covet. They want us to break the Ten Commandments. They want us to be discontent with what we have so that we will purchase what they have, right? And folks, we do it. And folks, it's not the items. It's not the items. It's the heart. You know, I'll never forget when I got my first iPhone. I had Verizon, and this is way back when the Verizon didn't even have the iPhone. Others had it, and Verizon didn't. I was still dinking around on a BlackBerry, right? And I remember it was time for me to re-up, and I had a coupon, and I was going to get it. If it ever happened, it was going to be cheap, and I'm waiting. It's time for me to re-up, and I'm waiting because I keep hearing rumors that Verizon's going to get the iPhone, and I finally get the email that I can pre-order. I can get it in the mail 4 days before they're even in the store. I pre-order. It comes in the mail. I get it, folks. I mean, I was like, oh. This back in the day, I mean, I'd always just had these little push buttons, and I didn't know this little swiping thing. I was really struggling. Every time I swiped it, I wanted to wipe it off. I'm like, what's going on here? I had a couple questions about it, so I took it. Just as soon as I got it, I took it to a Verizon store, and I take it in there. They weren't in the stores yet. And so none of the Verizon workers had pre-ordered. None of them. They hadn't even seen it. They all leave their customers, and we all got in a huddle and did it together. I had it for about a week. Guess what? I dropped it. Big, huge chunk out of the bottom of it. About maybe, I don't know, 3-4 months later, I had to go to the Verizon store because I had a question about my wife's flip phone, you know. And so I go in there and I walk in and I had this one. He goes, oh, you seen the new one? I said, no, this is the new one. He said, oh, no, that's the old one. I said, no, this is the new one. He said, oh, no, that's the old one. He said, this is the new one. I said, no, this is the new one. This can't be the old one. I just got it. You just told me this is the new one. Folks, I got a question. Can we keep up? I mean, it doesn't stop. And I want you to know, though, we keep going after it. And it's not this. This isn't the problem. This is the problem. Folks, the heart is the problem. We bought into the lies. Folks, we constantly are going after the things of this world, and we come up empty over and over and over again. Folks, the things of this world will never, ever satisfy the longings of the heart. And if you don't get this right, you will spend your life spinning your wheels, and you'll never know the satisfaction that only God can bring into your life. He is your creator. And He made it. He made it to where our lives will not work unless He is at the center. You know, there's a progressive nature in the way that this world, that the world works. You know, you have this man in this verse, and we'll just look at this, you know, quickly, then we'll move to verse 2. But it says that, you know, at first he's walking, he doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, then really this standing in the way of sinners or sitting in the seat of the scornful, it kind of shows the progression of the way the things of this world work. You know, you have this man, and he's walking, and he's conversing. Before long, he's stopped, and he's standing. And then before long, he is seated. It's the progressive nature of the way the world works. It reminds me of Lot in the Bible. Remember, Abraham said, "Lot, you go whichever way you want to go. You take your flocks, you take your herds, you take your servants, your family. I'll go the other way." Lot looks down. He looks in the valleys. They're well watered. He just wanted a place to feed his sheep. But he didn't see the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah as any danger to him. And so he moves his family in that direction. I believe Lot had zero intention of actually moving his family into those cities. But the very next chapter, we find that that's where they are. They've moved in. And then a few chapters later, we find the angel of the Lord coming. And really, it's said of Lot that he was of those who sat in the gate of the city. And we see this at other places, and really believe this to be the terminology used for those who are the officials of the city. Folks, he saw this world as no danger to him. Before long, he's being pulled. And then before long, he's bought into the philosophy. And I was so struck by this today as Dr. Minnick was speaking, because the way it works, you don't even realize that you've become blind. The church at Laodicea thought everything was fine. You know, maybe you're here today, and just the way the world works, just a little bit at a time, it's pulling at your heart. It's kind of like, you know, I have glasses on here, and many of you have glasses, or maybe in the summer you'll throw on some sunglasses. You ever been out and the wind's kind of blowing, maybe you're even cutting the grass, some dust is flying. You don't even realize that it's going on, but before long you're just kind of like, man, it's a little dingy in here. You ever been there? You pull them off and hold them up, you're like, whoa, and you wipe them off, put them back on, ooh, I can see. Folks, you know what? That's how the world works, just a little bit at a time. It begins to coat the lenses of your life. And you know what? Maybe you're sitting here today, at Bob Jones University student, and it's actually been a while since you've seen God. And it's not that he's not present. It's that the lenses of your life have become so coated by the things of this world. You don't even realize how far you have gone. Or the earbuds of the world have been packed in so tight, it's been a while since you've heard from God. And folks, it's not that you're not sitting in front of a Bible that's open all the time, and we come to chapel. You have Bible class. But folks, when's the last time you saw God, and I'm not talking about with real physical eyes, but with eyes of faith. You heard from God. He was at work in you. You see, this world is just a little bit at a time, the progressive nature of the way it works, filling us with its lies, and we start buying in. You see, verse number 1 really tells us this man who's going to be blessed, he knows that the true blessing of God is not found in this world. So where is it? Let's look at verse number 2. Pretty simple PowerPoint here. I just have the text up on the PowerPoint for you to look at. But in verse number 2, it says this, but his delight. So his, I'm talking about this man who's fulfilled, who's satisfied. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, maybe you're sitting there thinking, you say, Aaron, you've been up here telling us all this time that that we shouldn't listen to the lies of the world. Instead, we should read our Bibles, because we all understand that when it talks about the law of the Lord, that's what it's talking about. Well, first of all, I hope I'm not just standing up here telling you something. I hope that you understand that this is coming from God Himself. But He says that the blessed man, the man who's going to be satisfied and fulfilled, is a man who isn't going to listen to the lies of this world and walk in its ways. But instead, hear me, He said he is going to delight in the law of the Lord. Now, the law of the Lord, folks, this is the law of God. This is the law of the Lord. This is what he would be talking about. I have a question for you today, Bob Jones University student, faculty, visitors. What is your attitude? Because he actually doesn't say that he reads the law of the Lord. He uses an attitude word. And I want to ask you today, what is your attitude toward this book?
Well, I mean, you know, it's a good book. I got four or five of them around the house, and it's a good book. I go Bible classes.
What is your attitude towards this book? He gives us a word that we can't get away from. He says that the man who's going to have his soul satisfied delights in this book. Folks, what does it mean to delight? Folks, it's a great word. You know why? Because we get it. You know what it means to delight. We all have things that we delight in. We get it, folks. It's what you get excited about. It's what you get emotionally pumped up about. We understand this word. What do you delight in this life? What do you love? What do you get emotionally excited about? Folks, it's not bad. It's good. It's what it is. We get excited about all kinds of things. I mean, we get excited about our sports teams. You know, I grew up in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. I'm a Carolina Tar Heel fan. You know, in football, I don't know why I am a Green Bay Packer fan. That's my favorite team. And then beyond that, it's just whoever's playing the New England Patriots. That's all that matters. You know. So as of right now, I happen to be an Eagles fan. But I mean, we get excited about these things. We get pumped. What do you get excited about? We get excited about simple things, our hobbies, our just the different things of life, don't we? I mean, I wonder, you know, how, being Valentine's Day, I wonder if there's any ladies in here who delight in some chocolate. You know, I just wonder, you know. My wife was speaking at this ladies' event. It was called the Chocolate Cafe, a whole evening of chocolate and coffee. There was 250, 275 ladies at this event, and I was there. I was the only man there. I was there for one reason and one reason only. I was going to come up beside my wife, and she was going to sing a song, and then she was going to speak, and I was supposed to play my guitar. I was going to play my guitar and leave, but because I had to do that, I was there. And I was the only man on the premises. I remember I was sitting outside on the tailgate of my truck, just beholding the sight. As these ladies are going into the building, I'm telling you, their feet were not on the ground. They were floating towards the chocolate, you know? I wonder if there's some ladies who delight in some chocolate or some men who delight in a big piece of red meat cooking on the grill. Yeah. I mean, we delight in things, folks, simple things. I'm just telling you, among the faculty and staff and visitors, I wonder if there's some people who delight in some grandbabies. Getting to see some grandbabies at holiday time. Man, my daughter Ella, she's 10 years old now, but she was the first grandbaby born on both sides of the family. Woo! It got crazy. So funny. I mean, she was born in September. We're coming home for that Christmas, and I mean, my 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 mom and my mother-in-law, they're like talking. I mean, they're taking our days off that we're going to be there. And I mean, they're like splitting it down to the hour, making sure there's proper baby distribution, you know, between the two of them. I'm not even in charge. I'm not even close to being in charge of this whole thing. I mean, it's crazy. I go to my parents' house, in North Carolina, and that Christmas, and we were staying upstairs. We stay upstairs. My parents' home is, our bedroom is downstairs, and we kind of have the whole upstairs to ourselves. There's this one place in the floor where it's kind of creaky, kind of makes this little creaky spot. You can hear it downstairs, and I'd get up in the morning. You know, we're on time off. Steph and Ella was 3 months old, and my wife Stephanie, they're still in the bed, and we're tiptoeing. I'm tiptoeing through. You know, I don't want to wake them up, and I mean, I'm just on the way to the restroom, but I would hit those little squeaky places in the floor, and just as soon as my foot would hit them, you know what I'd hear downstairs? The pitter-patter of my parents' feet. You know, by the time I would get to the stairs, there they were every morning. Hey, good morning. Is Ella up? Every single morning. I'm like, don't you even love me anymore? You know, it's really funny. That Christmas, I got a pair of pants for Christmas, and they didn't fit me. My dad went with me to the store. I go back, and I'm trying on some different pairs of pants. And at one particular point, I had some on. I wanted him to see him. He was just standing outside the door there, I thought. And I walked out, and I mean, he's just gone. He's just gone. I'm like, Dad, this can't be the rapture. I know. You know, I can't find my dad. And I finally find him. Guess where he was? He's in the baby department. He's never been to the baby department a day in his life. You know, he found a sale every few minutes. He's coming around the corner. Isn't this just precious? And I'm just like, gone bonkers. Hey, we know what's going on. What's going on, folks? He delights in this little girl. Folks, this is the word. What did David delight in? Folks, what made David a man after God's own heart? Was it because he had no sin? No, folks, it's because David was a man who delighted himself in the Word of God. If you look over in Psalm 119, you don't have to turn there. Let me just tell you a couple verses, or this is like just a little sampling of some of the language of Psalm 119. Dr. Minnick had us there for just a few moments this morning as we were looking at the word quicken me. But listen to this. This is just a sampling of David's language in Psalm 119, the longest of the Psalms that he dedicated to the Word of God. Listen to what he said, verse 16. I will delight myself in thy Word. In thy statutes, I will not forget thy Word. Verse 24, thy testimony also are my delight and my counselor. Verse 47, I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Verse 70, their heart, talking about the world, is as fat as grease. What a picture. But he says, I delight myself in thy law. Verse 77, let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Verse 174, I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. And I'm telling you, I'm just like giving you a couple sample verses. He says it over and over and over again. David was a man after God's own heart because he delighted in the Word of God. Now, for just a minute, I really think it would be right for us to really just ask this question. Is there a difference between duty and delight? And I think we would all readily admit, yeah, there's a difference between duty and delight. And I want to be very, very careful here because duty is good. Duty is noble. There better be a sense of duty. When it comes to your Christian life, there's a big problem if you don't understand and feel a sense of duty. We honor men. Veterans Day, Memorial Day. We honor men who put their life on the line to fight for our freedom as a sense of duty.
Folks, we have high admiration. It is noble and it is right, and there needs to be a sense of duty. This is why Paul said that the love of Christ constrains me. And he said since he died for us, we got to live for him. There needs to be a sense of duty. But folks, I just want you to know in this verse of Scripture, Psalm chapter 1, verse 2, it does not say that his duty was in the law of the Lord. Folks, he said it was his delight. There needs to come a time in our Christian maturity, as we grow in grace, as we progress in this Christian life, in this sanctification, there needs to come a time that we start to see that we are getting out of just being duty-driven Christians, and we are coming to the place where we delight in it. You say, Aaron, you mean to tell me that every time your alarm goes off, you just explode out of bed and you just can't wait to get to your Bible reading? No. I'll tell you two things I delight in early in the morning. You know what they are? My pillow and my snooze button. I'm kind of normal. But how many times does duty push me out of bed? But only to come to a place where I sit down and, my friend, God meets with me. Have you ever had times like that, seasons like that? Maybe you're sitting here today, college student, and you say, it's impossible. Tried it. My friend, I want you to know it is too possible to have seasons of time in the Word. And folks, it is not like this every day. But where maybe it's duty that drives and duty that pushes and duty that gets you to the place, but you sit down and you spend time with God. Have you been there? And you got to look at your watch. Oh, you wish you had more time, but you got to go. And you get done and you spend some time in prayer and say, God, thank you. That was delicious. Folks, that's what Dr. Minnick was talking about earlier today in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, when Jesus says, I stand at the door and I'm knocking, and if you will open the door, I will come in and sup with you. Some of you don't believe that God actually really, the God of the universe actually wants a personal relationship with you. Folks, this isn't just for people who maybe you think are super Christians. You know, oh, God wants to meet with, you know, Dr. Pettit or with, you know, Dr. Minnick. Well, number one, there's no such thing as super Christians. All we are is a bunch of fallen people who need Jesus every day of our lives. Folks, did you know that God loves you just as much as he loves anybody else? He sent his son for you just like he sent his son for everybody else. And he wants a relationship with his people. And he wants to meet with you, and he wants to feed you. You say, Aaron, I mean, what's the big deal? Isn't it just a bunch of black words on white pages? What's the big deal? Folks, this is the written word, but it's about the living word. Folks, cover to cover, this is a book about Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the one who said to the woman at the well, come to me and drink, and you'll never thirst again. He's the one who said, I'm the bread of life. Come. Folks, if we will eat of him, we'll have our souls satisfied. He's the good shepherd who leads us beside the still waters and nourishes us. Folks, you know why it's so important for me and you to come to the place where we daily come and delight ourselves in this word, is because this is how we come and spend time with Jesus. And he's the one who satisfies the soul. Folks, maybe you're here today and you are so stuck in duty-driven Christianity. I'll never forget. I was in seminary right here. There were seasons of seminary that were sweet. There were some seasons of seminary that were like a drought for me. Man, I'm studying languages, OTI, NTI. I'm reading so much. It was so easy for me to let personal dinner time supping with Jesus slide because I'm in chapel every day. I'm in Bible classes every day. We're staring at this became a textbook for me. You got your doctrines classes, chapel every day. I remember I was down. I was low. I was in seminary right here on this campus. I remember walking along. And I remember walking past a friend of mine. He was younger. He was an undergrad. I remember walking by. His name was Joel Compton. I remember walking past Joel Compton, and he was just sitting there, and he had a book open in his lap, and he was just kind of staring off up in the air. And I remember just walking by. I said, "Hey, Joel." He said, "Hey, Aaron, what's up?" I said, "Nothing." I said, "What you doing?" He said, "I'm just sitting here." He was reading a textbook. He was reading a doctrines book. And he said, "I'm just sitting here." He said, "Aaron," he said, "I can't believe that Jesus would die for me." He said, "I just can't get over it." And we small talked for a couple more minutes, and I walked away and I said, "God, I don't have that. But I want it, God." I remember it really pushed me on a quest. I started going on a quest. I had somebody really push me to be in the Word. I mean, it started with just a challenge. Don't miss a day. Go a whole week without missing a single day. I can do that. And then he said, "When you're done with 1 week," he said, "do it again." And he said, "When you're done with that week, do it again." And folks, I'm not telling you in any way whatsoever I got a perfect record at all. But folks, God pushed me to be a man who just came. And it was a begging. And I'm telling you, there's many times when it's dry. And there's many times when duty has to kick in and push me through. But I've had so many seasons of my life where God just meets with me over and over again. And I really believe that when I was in my undergraduate days here at Bob Jones University, I really think that I sort of felt like that wasn't possible. And student, I want you to know it is. God has promised that if you will draw nigh to me, what did he say? I will draw nigh to you. Folks, we got to be people who are in the Word. Are you stuck in duty mode? Folks, duty mode is noble and it's good when it's necessary. But folks, we're talking about going to another level where we start to come to the place where we are delighting in the Word of God. There is a difference. You know, today's Valentine's Day. Last week, I already did Valentine's Day. Last week, I took my wife to the Phantom of the Opera. And I surprised her. And, you know, let's just say, you know, I had babysitters, and let's say I got the tickets, and I'm kind of excited, and I got this whole thing planned out, and I come up, and I sneak up behind her. I say, "Hey, baby, these are for you." And she goes, "Oh, Aaron, it's awesome. Why did you?" And I say, "Yeah, duty." Was that not good? you know, rewind, got the tickets, babysitter's plans. Hey, baby, these are for you. Oh, why did you? Because I love you. And there's nothing in the world I'd rather do than spend time with you. Is there a difference? Why do you go to church? Is it just because you have to?
Well, I mean, my dad went to church. His dad went to church. I mean, his dad, I don't know what I'd do on a Sunday morning if I didn't go to church.
I mean, I'm glad you've developed a good habit. Have you come to the place where you love to hear the preaching of this book because you believe that this book will change who you are because you are spending time with Jesus? Look what happens to this man. I mean, this is what it looks like this is what revival looks like. Verse number 3. This is what revival looks like in our lives. Verse number 3, it says, "And he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." It says that a man who doesn't listen to the lies of this world because he knows that true satisfaction is not found in the lies of this world. Instead, he delights himself in the Word of God. And I love that phrase. He meditates on it day and night. Tomorrow in my breakout session, the workshop, I'm gonna talk about that. But it says that a man who doesn't listen to the lies of this world, but he delights himself in the Word of God and he meditates on it day and night. In verse number 3, he's going to start to take on the characteristics of a big, strong tree that's planted by rivers. Folks, a tree that's planted by rivers, it's nourished. From the outside, other trees looking at this tree can't figure out why he's so strong. They're searching for water. They're searching for nutrients. They're searching for satisfaction. But this one has found it. His branches are far-reaching. He bears fruit in his season. The scorching sun of trial or temptation beats on him, but his leaf doesn't wither. And he prospers spiritually. He prospers. He prospers in his ministry. He prospers in his marriage. He prospers because he's planted deep and he is nourished from something that's powerful. I live in a unique part of the country. I live in eastern North Carolina. When people think of North Carolina, they think of the beautiful mountains on the west and then the beautiful coastline on the east. But they don't realize that there's about 2.5 to 3 hours of just kind of flat, ugly, bleh, right in the middle. And guess where I live, you know? I live right there, and we have hot summers. You understand that here. It'd be very similar to here. We have hot summers, and then we have hot, dry summers, and then we September. You know what happens in September? Hurricane season. Probably starts in August and then September and into October. And those hurricanes, they begin down in the Caribbean and as tropical storms and then turn into full-blown hurricanes. And, you know, this past year they came up into the Gulf and obviously hit Florida hard. Many times, though, they'll come out into the Atlantic Ocean and really build up some steam, and they'll come slamming into the eastern seaboard. If you ever look at a map, you got Georgia, then South Carolina, then North Carolina, and then as it goes into Virginia, it cuts back in. Right where North Carolina sticks out, we're about 2.5 hours inland, and we get hit so hard, hurricanes. And in 1999, Hurricane Floyd, we're 2.5 hours inland, but we lost our home. I mean, the rain just came, and the ground was so hard, it just couldn't absorb the water, and so the rivers backed up, and the creeks backed up. Our whole neighborhood was underwater. We had to relocate and build a new home. You know, it's amazing. It's an amazing thing to go down in the woods. Now where we live, there's woods down close to us, and And I spent a lot of time hunting. And it's amazing when you go down the woods and you see these trees that are uprooted after a heavy, hard hurricane season. A hot summer, then combined with a heavy hurricane season. These winds come off the ocean, and they're just so hard and fast, and these tornadoes spawn off. And, it's amazing. You know, you'll see these huge trees, seemingly, I mean, they seem like a big, healthy tree, but then they'll be blown over. And they'll take their whole root system with them. You ever seen a whole root system go with a tree? It'll stand 8, 10, maybe 12 feet off the ground, this huge root system. When you go back around and you examine the root system of a tree, you find out a lot about a tree. You know what you find? So many times these trees, they weren't as healthy as they looked like they were. Because the ground was so hard, and they would try to penetrate the ground to find water, but they couldn't. And so their roots would go wide. They would be wide, but they wouldn't be deep. You know what? I meet a lot of Christians like that. Folks, we're busy. We're so busy. Folks, I remember Bob Jones University life, college life. We're busy. Man, I mean, we got this rolling and this rolling and this rolling. I mean, good stuff, good stuff. Man, I mean, we're in this choir. We got to make sure to get this done. Obviously, studying, you know, trying to find a date for artist series. I mean, that's got to be in there somewhere, right? I mean, we're rolling, good stuff, important stuff. But if we're not careful, you know what, folks? It's real easy for us to be about a mile wide and an inch deep. Do you have depth to you? I remember I was in Florida at a meeting, and I finished up the meeting, and on the last night of the meeting, I was standing out in the parking lot saying bye to some people who were there in the church, and I didn't realize that I was standing right beside a man's vehicle who was in the church. And this man, I'd conversed with him a couple times during the week, not for a long time, but he was an older gentleman, probably in his mid-80s, and he was hunched over a little bit, and he had a cane. And he comes walking up behind me. I didn't even realize he was there. I'm talking to these people. As I say bye and I turn around, I was standing right by his car, but he was right there, and he grabbed me. And he said, "Young man," he said, "I have read my Bible every day this week." I thought he was going to say like his whole life, and I was getting ready to stand in amazement. But then he said, "This week," and I didn't really know what to say. And I was like, "Amen. That's awesome." And then he said, no, "You don't understand." He said, "I have never done that in my life." And then he said these words to me, and I'm telling you, I'll never forget them. He said, "I am sick and tired of being shallow." And he got in his car and he drove away. And I remember just standing there in the middle of that parking lot as I watched him pull out of the parking lot and drive down the road. And I had a little moment with God. I said, God, you know me. Folks, God knows me. You don't know me. You probably think way better of me than I really am. I promise I'm on my best behavior while I'm up here. But God knows me. And I said, "God, don't you let that be me, please." Folks, I mean, all the ingredients are here. They're all here. They're all right here. For me to be shallow. I got lots of things I love. I'm easily distracted. I can be selectively lazy. Just depends on if I'm into it or not. You know, I mean, it's all here, folks. It's all here. It's kind of normal. I said, "God, don't you let that be me at the end of my life. God, you keep me in your word. God, you do what you got to do. Don't let that be me." My friend, don't be shallow. Don't spend your life going after the things of this world, and at the end of your life, you look back and you say that you've wasted it. Folks, God has come, and God wants a relationship with us, and God wants to fill us. You know, Matt Clemens started traveling with me almost 3 years ago. Matt and it was so funny. I remember when Matt was talking to me about coming, I remember I got in touch with Brother Steve, Dr. Pettit, and I said, hey, you know Matt Clemens, and I knew Matt because he had worked with us up at Northland, but I said, you know Matt and Carol Ann Clemens? And I said, well, I'm talking to them about traveling. Do you have any thoughts, any words of advice? And he goes, Aaron, he is exactly like you. I'm like, is that good or bad? It's true. And you know what? He came onto our team, and for the first time really in his life, he was really confronted with, I think, how shallow he was. And that boy went on a quest like I just haven't seen many do. Me and him would get together and pray, and he had a trailer. They had a baby and got a trailer, so he would park right beside me as we would go around the country. And late at night, so many times we would sit outside and talk, and we would pray, and we'd talk about what we were learning in the Word, and we would just pray. We'd pray, God, don't let us be shallow. God, don't let us be shallow. I remember Matt praying, God, Carol Ann, my wife, needs me to be deep. You know, I mean, you know what my wife needs? My wife doesn't need me to be a super Christian. My wife needs for me to be dependent and broken. My children don't need a perfect dad. They need a dad who needs Jesus every day of his life. You know, maybe it'd be that 2018 is a year that you look back on as one where God showed you the shallowness of who you are. And you went on a journey of coming to God every day of your life. Folks, we don't read our Bible because we're awesome. We come to Jesus because we know we're not. And people who don't spend time with Jesus are people who somehow think they are. I want you to look at verse number 4 and then we'll be done here. What a transition. It's a comparison being made here. He's been talking about a man who delights in the Word, meditates on it, is like a tree that can handle a hurricane. But then look at verse number 4. Remember I said you could almost supply the word however here, but listen to this. However, the ungodly are not so. So what is he saying there? They're not like a tree that can handle a hurricane. It's planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit, that prospers. You can't blow it over. The ungodly are not like that. But instead, listen to this, folks. They are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Do you want that to be who you are? Listen to that. The chaff. Was the farmer would take the wheat and he would beat it on the threshing floor. You've probably heard this before. The grains of wheat were heavy, so they would fall to the threshing floor. The chaff was the featherweight packing around each little grain of wheat. And the farmer didn't have to worry about that because the wind would just, a whisper of a wind would blow the chaff away. And he was just left with the wheat. Here's the comparison. A man who knows he needs God every day. A woman who knows she needs God every day of her life is like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that is nourished by God Himself through His Spirit. And it can handle whatever comes because it's deep and it's strong. But a man who is ungodly, who says, I don't need God, maybe that was your day today. It's like the chaff that's blown away by the wind. Whew. Folks, you know, I've been so overwhelmed right now with the reality of how fast trials can come. Obviously, this whole thing with Matt has just been so fast and so hard. Another friend of mine, and Dr. Pettit, traveled with me when I traveled with is Matt Taylor up at the Wilds. His dad just went home to be with the Lord today. This news about Tom Farrell's wife, Regina. My friend, you better have roots that are deep. You better have your soul nourished. My friend, may we be people who are deep. May we not be people who are like the ungodly. People who are living life with little or no regard to God. No time for the Word. No time for prayer. No time. It'll be like the chaff which the wind drives away. My friend, if revival is going to take place, it's been said several times. If revival is going to take place on this campus, it is not going to happen apart from the Spirit of God using the Word of God. It's not going to happen. This isn't something where we all get in a circle and sing Kumbaya and all of a sudden the Spirit descends. No, folks, it's going to be because we are centered on the Word. And the Holy Spirit of God uses the Word and He meets with us. May we be people. May you be a student who comes to the place where you understand that the Word of God is an absolute non-negotiable in your daily life.